Praise be Jesus Christ. Today's epistle comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13, and it's known as the Hymn to Charity. And this chapter in the New Testament is so important, so central to the life of the Christian, because it's this virtue, charity, which is known as the queen of virtues, which is the most important thing in our lives. Every person that comes into this world is called to the perfection of charity. Just as God is love, as the Pope's encyclicals entitled Deus Caritas Est, God is charity. So we are meant to become like God by having perfect charity. That's our call. That's our vocation. That's what we're supposed to be doing in this world. St. Peter, in his first letter, he talks about our divinization. That means becoming divine, becoming like God. And that's what he means, perfecting charity in our lives. Now, charity is identical to sanctifying grace in the soul. Sanctifying grace is precisely that thing which makes us like God. When we are baptized and we receive sanctifying grace in our soul, that's what makes us objectively good. That's what makes us like God. And so that grace is meant to be perfected, to come to full fruition in our lives. And now I say that it is the most important thing because, again, as St. Paul says in another one of his letters, his letter to the Colossians, it is the bond of perfection. That's what makes us perfect. Not only that, but charity, again, as this hymn to charity in his first letter to the Corinthians explains, charity is that which makes our good works meritorious and pleasing to God. Let's read what St. Paul says. And if I should have prophecy and should know all mysteries and all knowledge, okay, he's talking to all of the smart people out there, all of those who are gifted with a great intellect. Okay, that's a good thing. But if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. If I should have all faith so as to remove mountains, we can have great faith. We can be filled with devotion and dripping with holy water, so to speak. But if we don't have charity, it means nothing. Okay, faith without works, good works, is dead, as St. James says. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, here he's talking to all of the philanthropists out there, all of those who do good for goodness' sake. This is one of the signs, I believe it was in Iowa, a group of atheists had an advertising campaign where they put signs on the side of buses. And one of them, during the Christmas time, said, "Be good for goodness' sake," you know, implying that there is no God to be good for. And St. Paul is saying that to be good for goodness' sake merits us nothing, is not pleasing to God. "And if I should deliver my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." We must have charity. Now, another reason why charity is the most important thing in our lives is because charity is the only thing that will never end. This is another thing that St. Paul teaches in this hymn to charity. Prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. Faith, too, will be replaced by sight. Right now in this world, we know God by faith, through the veil of faith. But then, in heaven, that veil will be removed. There will be no faith because we will know God by sight. We will see him as he is, face to face. The virtue of hope as well will be gone. No need for hope. Right now, we hope to possess God in eternity. But when we're there, we will actually possess him, and hope will be gone. But charity, as he says in this letter, will never come to an end. Charity never ends. That degree of charity that we possess in our souls at the moment of our death, that love we have for God, is the same love that will endure with us through all eternity. Do you see how the wise man in this world does nothing other, or has everything ordered to, acquiring greater charity, greater love? That's what our lives should all be ordered to, growing in love day by day, so that when we die, we have the maximum charity possible. Now, if charity is so important, then it's important, essential, that we understand exactly what it is. Now, first, we should understand what it is not. Now, a lot of people, when you mention charity, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Usually, giving alms to the poor. Okay, that's an aspect, that's an act of charity, but that doesn't say everything that's to be said about charity, doesn't talk about the essence of charity. A lot of people today, when you talk about love, they immediately think of feelings or something sensual. Well, that too does not pertain to the essence of love. If that were so, how could our Lord command us to love even our enemies? Would he then be saying, feel good towards those who do wrong to you? No, our Lord isn't saying that. That would be impossible, because we don't have full dominion, full control over our feelings. So since our Lord commands us to love everyone, even our enemies, that must mean that it's a decision, that it's a choice, that it's up to us, that we can either choose to love or choose not to love. And in fact, that's the essence of charity. It's an act of the will, a decision, a choice. So there are three things that pertain to charity: what we do, how we do it, why we do it. First of all, what we do. St. John teaches very clearly in his first letter, the love of God consists in this, that we keep his commandments. How many people think of the commandments when they talk about love, when they talk about charity? Probably very few. And yet, St. John says it right there, very clearly. The love of God consists in this, that we keep his commandments. He says again in his gospel, or rather our Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So there we have a concrete norm, a standard, by which we can examine ourselves, examine our love for God. Do I keep his commandments? If I don't keep his commandments, then evidently I don't love God very much. Now we think about all of those people who think they can be, quote, good Catholics and not go to Mass on Sunday. That's the third commandment. If you don't go to Mass, where is your love for God? If you say you love God, show me by keeping the commandments. So what we do, keeping the commandments, then how we do it. This goes back to St. Paul's hymn to charity, where he explains, charity is patient, charity is kind, charity is not envious, nor does it act wrongly, it is not arrogant, it is not ambitious, does not seek her own, it is not provoked to anger, and does not think evil. It does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Charity bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So once again, like the commandments, now St. Paul gives us another list by which we can examine ourselves, examine the charity that we possess. Am I patient? Am I kind? No. The saints say that when we meet up with some difficulty, the first two things to go out the window, patience and kindness. Patience and goodwill. We become impatient and we want to take it out on someone. Patience and kindness. And so we could go down through the whole list, examining ourselves. Am I envious? Am I proud, arrogant, etc.? So what we do, how we do it, and then finally, why we do it. Why do we keep the commandments? Why do we honor our parents? Why do we remain pure? Why do we not lie, not steal? Why be patient and kind? Our number one motivating factor ought to be this: to please God. To please God. And then we know that we are loving God. We obey His commandments. We strive to be patient, kind, etc. in our lives. And we do all of this simply to please God. I'll just close with the words of St. John the Apostle before he died. He reportedly said, "Children, if you could only learn how to love, that would be enough." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Et Jesus.